All right. God dang. All right. Today we're going to explore quality versus quantity. I was just sending one of my clients a message because he sent me something. He said, Gary Vaynerchuk's views are down. You know, it's making me question, should I produce more content or less content? You know, should they be more epic or less epic? And I don't think that's the question that we should be asking. See, with my content, my goal is, you know, one of my favorite things to explore here is why people aren't taking action, why they stop taking action, and ultimately, why are people successful? I've studied a lot of different people through the years, including people like Gary Vee and Joe Rogan and Tim Ferriss and Mr. Beast, and looking at these things and trying to find commonalities, trying to find the differences, trying to find things that can help myself, but also help those that I work with. Because for me, just because something's better, if you won't work it, it won't work. And so too many times we're looking and we're saying, oh, you got to spend 3.5 months working on a video and that's the best way to do it. It's got to be perfect. It's got to be great. You got to script it. You got to do this. You got to do that. And see, for me, I've fallen into those traps, something that works for someone, but not for everyone. And you've got to watch. And in the work that I do with people is I have no agenda in getting you to do a particular thing because I did it, because I succeeded with it. It could work for you, but it doesn't mean it will work for you. And a lot of people who struggle and have challenges and have difficulties and they overcome that and they find a way that works, they share that way with you. But they share it from a place of conviction and certainty that I've tried everything and I have found the way. I have found the path. And it's like they found a way, but not the way. And so for me, there was a chapter from James Altucher's book, Reinvent Yourself. And it's a chapter about being prolific. And so Barbara Cortland broke the world record in 1983. She wrote 23 novels. She was 82 years old, 2 novels a month that year. Altogether, she wrote 723 published novels. The last she wrote at age 97. When she died a year later, there were 160 unpublished novels still waiting to be published. Did people like her work? Well, it depends on what estimate you use. She sold between 600 million and 2 billion books. Most of her books were romance novels. Was she a creative? Was she an artist? I don't know if that question matters. She loved it, else she would not have done it. And I think this is one of the keys that I keep seeing come up, is that to the degree that you're doing something because someone else told you you should do it, and it's the better way to do something. Again, it might be better to work out 1 hour a day, 7 days a week, and different body parts and all these different things, and go to the gym and have all these different tools and contraptions to use and have a personal trainer. And maybe you can pull that off. But unless you can pull that off indefinitely, then it doesn't really matter if it could be a best way. By the way, I'm not a personal trainer expert here, but I'm bringing up an example of something that would contrast two things, right? That working out 5 minutes a day isn't as effective as working out 1 hour a day with a trainer and going to the gym and doing all these things and yada, yada, yada. But if you can only keep that up for 3 months and then you quit or you stop and then you don't do it again for 3 years and you keep up behavior like that indefinitely, meaning something that I've been saying a lot lately is intensity versus consistency, or consistency over intensity. It's great to be intense from time to time. I'm the perfect example of being the sprinter, and I will blow you away in the sprint in the short term. But where I have struggled in my life is that, for example, I went on a bike ride once with my parents down this thing called the River Road. It has a bike path, and I'm booking. I'm going super fast. They're way behind me, and I'm like, look at that. I'm going. And then, boom, I have to fall off the bike, and I'm laying, you know, almost passed out. You know, I think I might have vomited. And, they went right on by me and rode for the next 30, 40 minutes, and then they came back and picked me up on the way back, and I was, you know, rested. And so although in the short term I won, in the long term I lost. And that's what I've seen in my life at times, is that I have been so intense and I can do more in a day or a week or a month sometimes than some people will do in years. But the problem is then it stops me for months, weeks, or years. And if you haven't already become an Adele or an Ed Sheeran or somebody huge, and even though you might be forgotten a little bit, if you go take a hiatus and you're one of those people, you can likely come back and have a number one, you know, best-selling song after not being anywhere doing anything public for 5 years. But for people who haven't, you know, the hardest thing is getting a train going down the track. And once the train's going down the track, it's hard to stop. And so the problem is a lot of people haven't got that train going down the track yet. And they do something for a few weeks or a few months, and then they stop because they haven't seen the progress. They haven't seen the win. They haven't seen the external thing that they're hoping they're going to gain, the outcome, the result. You know, I've seen all these stats on YouTube. Why do you create YouTube videos? And they just say purely for extra money. I can promise you that none of those people will likely ever succeed at making extra money in their life if the only reason they're making YouTube videos is to make extra money. People making a crap ton of money and doing it for their living are quitting. What do you think that you have if you are only doing it for money and you hate, there's so many things you have to potentially learn how to do and everything else and be consistent and do it for potentially. I mean, you hear some of these people doing it for years before things took off. There's one guy I follow right now. Sometimes I more observe what they're doing than I like what they're doing in regards to the content. This one guy, he did about 300 plus live videos, 7 days a week. He's been doing them for 5 years now. And the first 300 plus of them, that's pretty much almost a year, never got above 50 to 100, 150 views. Now he averages about 30, 40,000 views a video. And he has on average 1,500 to 3,000 people on live when he does it. And that's something that I look at because right now I can be doing things and it's like, oh, I would love if there was some interaction and there was, and by the way, if you're on while I'm live, leave a comment, say hello. I've got something, I'm streaming to a lot of places, but I usually can see the comments, but like, I would love that. That would be great. But if I don't show up regularly so that the algorithms and people and whomever can go, this guy's coming back, this guy's coming back, this guy's coming back, then potentially I'll never have those people there because it might never come. So then I have to go, it's just recording. Hey, there's Facebook user. Facebook user, I can't see who you are. Say your name because some of the platforms, it doesn't tell me the name. It just says Facebook user says, hey. So hello. Threw me off there. I appreciate it. No, keep leaving the comments. But you know, that's the thing. If I don't like doing this at all, then I might not do it long enough to ever have anything else happen besides showing here and talking to just my camera right now. And then, yes, I've been getting views and things afterwards. But so for me to be able to do this, I've had to find a way that works for me. I'm not the guy who's going to spend 3 weeks planning one video and editing it to perfection and adding all these graphics and doing things. I've played with these things. I did it last year. I can look at my past and go, well, you did this. Why'd you stop? You did this. Why'd you stop? You did this. Why'd you stop? Because I was following other people's playbooks. I was following other people's rules. And although there's nothing wrong inherently with them, it's just that they weren't right for me. But those people had a lot of conviction and a lot of certainty that this is the way that you do it. And so is being prolific, is quantity versus quality. Well, at times to get to some version of quality, you have to go through quantity. But there are still people on this planet that, like, let me bring up, I didn't read the rest of that. So, because I got thrown off by the she loved doing it. But Picasso might know, he said, the less art there is in painting, the more painting there is. In other words, just do it. Leave behind everyone else's definition of or everyone else's definitions of things, or you will drown in it. Why listen to him? He made 50,000 works of art in his life, an average of 2 a day. Is being prolific a requirement of being creative? No, not at all. Many great writers and artists have their master works that they have done and they are done. I would call some of that one-hit wonders at times, but it is possible, right? It is possible that, like, if you look at like a Mr. Beast, in the grand scheme of things, he's not uploading 17 times a day on every single platform, right? So he's going more for that quality. They spend a lot of time on that. But I've seen other YouTube channels that can't sustain that. I saw a guy that was in the personal development space, and his name was, I think, Leon Hendricks. He had over 500,000 subscribers, and people loved his content. The thing that happened is he said, you know what? I want to make this kind of content I'm doing right now. I want to make it entertaining. I want to make it more than a talking head. And he goes, I'm going all in. And so, yes, I've gotten brain scans and done all these things, but like, and they, you know, weren't cheap. They were worth it in a lot of ways, but at the same time, like, he did it and made like, spent $25,000 making this extreme video and doing all this stuff and taking a month and a half to get it done. And it didn't do as well as he thought. And then he kept doing that month after month because he had built up this channel. He had some cash flow and different things. And it's not that they didn't do anything, but the input wasn't always equaling the output. And so the problem is, after a year of doing these videos, sometimes uploading only once in a month, it wasn't working. That audience of people, for the way he was doing it and the money it cost to do it and the time it took to make it, it wasn't sustainable. Then he's doing videos like this sometimes to get five times as many views and take him 8 hours to put together. This didn't take me 8 hours to put together, but he spends a little bit more time. But they look kind of like a talking head video, the kind that he wasn't trying to make. And some of those did better than the ones he's spending weeks or months creating. And so should you spend weeks or months, or should you just do what I'm doing? The answer isn't do what I'm doing or do that. It's what will work for you so that you can go, I'll just work out 5 minutes a day for the rest of my life because that's what I'm going to be willing to do and that's what I like to do. Maybe you don't love working out and exercise. Like, I like to move my body. I like to go on walks and bike rides, but I'm not the guy who's like, I got to sweat so hard and I got to go hard every day. You know, I need a shower after I go outside and do my exercise. It's like, no, I don't like that. I'm not into that. So it might be better if I was more intense at times with some of my exercise, but to the degree that I'm not going to sustain that, it doesn't really matter. And so for me, I have a greater chance of success getting on here, having an idea and jamming for 15, 20, 30 minutes, and then getting off and moving on than I do making it far more complicated. And I've done that. And some of that stuff looked great. But the problem is, what happens if you succeed at doing something you hate? Right? What would have happened if my videos would have popped off last year and done really well that I really wasn't enjoying doing? I mean, there was parts of it that I had fun. I liked the output, but the overall thing, it was like, this is not really, it's not my jam. I'm not trying to, like, this is not really what I want to be doing. And so for me, it might have been on certain ways better, but rather than bring out one video a week and swing the bat, metaphorically speaking, four times a month, I can swing the bat 20 times a month. And I've got shorts going out two times a day. And then back to the Gary V thing for a minute. It's like, well, there's a whole slew of things that can go into why or why not he isn't having views like he used to. But he's never had consistently really high views because, quite frankly, he is uploading so much. But if one person uploads once a week and gets 100,000 views, but he uploads 47 times in a week and gets 120,000 views, he still might have more views. It's just every individual video doesn't have that many. And, but again, it's no right or wrong. Like, that's who he is. That works for him. He's not going to sit with a team and craft out a plan and an idea for weeks and months to make one video and hope it pops off. And I think the thing is, that mentality, though, that he has at times can keep a person going, because the greater the effort you put into something, even if it's not financially, like, it doesn't cost you financially, but it costs you emotionally and energetically, the longer the time you spend on something, the greater the disappointment, depending on your expectation. So if your expectation is, I don't necessarily love all this, but I'm going to work really hard at this. And then when I do this, I'm going to get this outcome. If the outcome doesn't happen and you spend a lot of time working on something you'd have rather not done and the outcome doesn't happen, then you're going to be really discouraged and really disappointed. And it's going to be hard to get back up and do something again because those blows are a lot heftier, right? I have something I call light thought, heavy thought. And for me, a lot of the biggest things that I've had wins with were something I had an idea and I took an action on it. You know, I just published I have it right here. I published my grandpa's book after his entire lifetime, basically from like late high school, you know, wanting to be a published author. And ultimately, me and my buddy were able to do what was necessary to have this copy right here in my hands in 2 days. And part of that's all the technology and everything that exists today. There are no gatekeepers anymore. But like, I was very intense in a very short period of time to do that, to accomplish that. The behavior I did in those 2 days really isn't a sustainable behavior, like on a daily basis, but it worked in that moment. And so the thing we've just got to think about is what's sustainable. Not I can go super intense and do something and then I need a break for 2 weeks because I'm so exhausted from it, right? But what is that thing you can do on and on? Oh, that's what I wanted to tie back in, the light thought, heavy thought. So this was a light thought. I had an idea. I acted on it. I got it done. That's the point I wanted to make from that. But I had the idea, light thought, boom, action, right? And I can look at things like reaching out to Tim Ferriss and Tony Robbins and some of these big things I've had happen as I had an idea, I sent an email, I took an imperfect action, and good things happen. But see, if I do 1,000 of those, I probably am not remembering 98% of them. And I only remember the ones that work. But I could take 1,000 actions in 1,000 days. I could take 1,000 actions in 50 days. Right. But if I take one action in 1,000 days or one main thing I'm trying to do, and I'm having this kind of scarce mindset, which I've had in my past, I viscerally feel those things that which I spent a lot of time on. And then when they didn't work out, and it's not always, you can spend a lot of time on something. Some things need that time. That's the proof. We've got movies, we've got entertainment, we've got music, we've got all sorts of things that if the people just got on here and did what I'm doing, we wouldn't have these masterpieces that exist, but both are needed in this world. There are people that I know are impacted by me that if I try to be the masterpiece person, I'll never impact anybody because, quite frankly, I'm not going to do that. But then the people who could believe, well, I just got to go 100 miles an hour and do this and take all these actions and do all these things and throw all these things at the wall, like, might never create the masterpiece. But see, that works for them. The person who loves to walk will walk the furthest. That's why people who fail at YouTube are more times than not are the people who don't like to create videos. They want money. The people who fail at most things in business, first of all, they quit. Number two, they don't really like doing that thing. And all they want is the outcome or the result they think that thing could give them. That's where I've failed the most. And so there's all sorts of examples of people doing all sorts of different things. In a lot of ways, they all can work, only if you're willing to work it. So what are you willing to work? Because it's not just quantity wins, quality doesn't. Quality wins, quantity doesn't. Quantity and quality. Like there's some kind of effort. Like there's things with AI left and right that are being thrown out there where people, you know, it's zero effort, but there's also zero value, zero quality. Like people can just tell it's a generic, who gives a crap, you know, thing that 5,000 people can pump out the same thing. So it has no inherent value. But for me, I'm having AI help me and a human being help me to create these shorts. And so I'm taking out some of the effort because I don't have the capital right now to have a highly skilled person like sift through these 45-minute long videos, but I can have AI spit out, you know, 20, 25 of these and then have a human look through those and make some adjustments. And then boom, we've got 3 or 4 shorts from this, right? And so integrating AI, human, the ability to have quantity, but it's getting engagement, maybe not as high as if I spent a lot more time or a lot more money, but I'm not going to do that. So it doesn't matter that that's a better way. What matters is the way that you will work. So that's it for right now. I think that's good. And if you're enjoying this comment, give it a like, a subscribe, a comment, you know, all that good stuff. You know, do what you got to do to say hello. I'd love to take you from a lurker to a liker. And if you're wanting to dig deeper, you know, my goal is to help people get clarity, get unstuck, and take action. And so this content is meant to give people perspective shifts, help them think differently. If there's something that's been holding you up, hopefully one of these perspectives or different ways of looking at something can get you to go, it's not this or that or either or black and white. It's the whole spectrum. And I got to find what works for me. I got to create my way. And it might be a blend of multiple different ways, but it's not necessarily just one way from one person. Because again, something might be better to do, but if it's not, I'll mention this one final thing for it. So you can go to mymechanic.net or DM me on any platform and reach out and see what I've got going on in regards to private personal support. But niching, right? Like it really gets a lot of people stuck. It's gotten me stuck. And so to the degree, if you said I work with chiropractors who do $500,000 a year in revenue and I do email marketing, that could be a really great angle. And you're the best email marketer for chiropractors. But the truth of the matter is, is that if you can't make a decision on picking that and you spend months, weeks, or years attempting to go, I have to choose chiropractors over 500 grand doing email marketing, right? If that's what you feel, whatever that is, video marketing, advertising, web design, combination of them all, whatever it is you're trying to do, if picking that thing has you take no action, then it is not an effective, it's not an effective method. It'd be more effective to go, I love email marketing, but I don't know who I want to do it for. So do it for people, right? And then you might do it for all these different industries. And then you might find, oh, I really like these people. And so I do it. The niche is the what you do, but not necessarily who you do it for, right? Versus it could be the initial example was the niche was a who and a what and a how, right? Chiropractors, $500,000 a year in revenue, email marketing, right? Those are two very specific things, but email marketing can be specific and maybe who you do isn't as specific, right? Whatever will get you unstuck and get you moving and get you taking action is the best method. What's the most natural next step? See, for me, sometimes I'm doing things out of order. I know there's certain things I probably should just face and I should do. It would probably be the next most logical sequential thing to do. But for my brain, I go, but I'm still stuck and confused there. And I know that action for me will create clarity. So where can I take actions? What can I take action on that will provide me more clarity so that that becomes more clear so I can take more action over there? But right now, I'm not wanting to. So let me take action somewhere because action creates clarity. There's things you'll think you'll love, hate you'll hate, love you'll hate, hate you'll love. You got to do it to know it. And so for me, doing these videos right now and not worrying too much about titles and thumbnails and the structure of the videos, but just getting on here, recording, finding a rhythm, building up that muscle for showing up and doing it and doing it and doing it. That is helping me get clear on what are some of the messages that people resonate with, but I really resonate with, right? What are the things, because I want it to be a win-win. I don't want you to love something that I hate doing. And I don't want to love doing something that you hate. I want it to be a win-win. When it's a win-win in business, you're unstoppable. And I've gotten to experience that firsthand in my own business and the businesses of that I've observed and those I've even coached and worked with. That when you can find what you love to do and others love that too, it's game over. So rock and roll, my friend. Check out themindmechanic.net. There's some goodies over there. And reach out if you want to go deeper and you want personalized private help. One-on-one. I don't have any courses, programs, or anything else for sale. I've got this content, give out as much as I can. And when you want to go deeper, I'm here to help. So check it out. And I think that's it. Keep rocking, keep rolling, and we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.